Welcome to Gratitude Space Radio. I'm your host, Chris Palmore, founder of GratitudeSpace.com. My sincere thanks for listening, subscribing, and rating this podcast.
So Adam, welcome to Gratitude Space.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time today. Could you tell the people a little bit about yourself before we get started?
So in my professional life, I am a doctor of acupuncture. I've been in practice for about 7 years now, and I just finished my doctorate degree. I have some articles that are possibly going to be published, so that's very good news for me. I specialize in reproductive health and primarily fertility, pregnancy, labor, delivery, and postpartum care is the window that I really enjoy working with. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm learning more about you. That's wonderful. Because I kind of went in this blind, but I just knew that it was, you know, we have a mutual friend that recommended you, and that was, for me, was the green light to, you know, like I said before, was all I needed to know I wanted to talk to you. So Adam, what, just simplistically, like, what does, you know, being grateful mean to you, or what does gratitude mean to you, just personally?
So for me personally, gratitude is about recognizing what's going well in my life. It's having that, not only having the grace for my mistakes along the way, but also being grateful for what I do have. There have been times in my life where it's always doom and gloom. I'm always looking at, oh, everything's just bad. It's just a mess. And as I've gotten older and as I've grown spiritually and academically and professionally and personally, is I realize that I can recognize when I'm in that kind of doom and gloom, and I can see and kind of like go, well, these things are really going great. Like, these are all the great things going in my life. So it's being grateful for those things.
Right. It's being able to realize that it's like knowing that space is there to be able to shift your attention, right? That you're just right. Wonderful. Yeah. That's a good, that's a totally good lesson and a good trick to the trigger for the mind to know they can do that, you know, that they can refocus, that they have the control to refocus their minds. They can refocus and go deeper into whatever that bad thing is, or they can just take a moment and go, okay, well, this is over here for a second, take a breath and step away from something mentally. It's a powerful
step away from the details thing. And look at the big picture.
Right, exactly, because it's in those little details we get lost and we get caught up in. Where it's the big picture. In this moment, could you share with us just three random things you're grateful for?
That would be my partner, my very supportive spiritual community, and the sisters.
Awesome, and we're going to talk about the sisters here shortly. I've got it's a little bit of a gratitude experiment. I'm going to ask you a question, and don't answer me until I say, give me the answer. Okay. It's just, I'm basically trying to get a layered thing going here. So when you hear the words, somebody in my life that I'm grateful for, who comes to mind? Don't tell me. You have somebody? Okay. We're going to do that again. I'm going to ask you the question again. Okay. So who in your life you're grateful for? This is like a second layer. So who came in your mind now? Don't tell me. Okay. And now we're going one more time. Who in your life are you grateful for and why? And I want you to get that person in your mind. And the only reason I'm asking that is because most people have their go-tos, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely nothing about an order. It's just who comes in your mind. I'm just curious who the third person was to pop up.
It was my partner all three times.
Okay. Well, there you go. Okay. Well then you already spoke a little bit about your partner, but go ahead and lay it on, man. What are you so grateful? What are some of the qualities about your partner that you just love?
My partner is, I am a healer by trade. So I get very much into my healing modalities. I can be like a whirlwind of things I want to do. And, you know, I can also be like, oh, I need this and I need this and I need this. And I really don't need all those things. My partner is, brings me that stability. My partner has been supportive in my educational endeavors. He's been present for me to complete a second master's degree and a doctoral degree. So having that kind of support and just, you know, the ability to, it's taken time, but even just me being willing to be open about, hey, I'm feeling this way and I don't know why I'm feeling this way, and just being able to talk it out. We're in the middle of a pandemic right now, and that has been like one of the things that I am so happy about, is that I live with someone that I care about and I get along with, and we are both experiencing things within our families, and we're just supporting each other in those spaces.
That's wonderful. So how long have you been with your partner?
We just celebrated 7 years since our first date.
Wow. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. I'm really happy for you. Yeah. That's having a partner that's a big deal, man. It's such a big deal to have somebody that just looks at you and loves you for who you are and allows you to be who you are and is comfortable enough for you to be who you are, and vice versa. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
What a blessing. What a massive blessing. And you know, obviously being stuck in the pandemic and being able to, you know, be with somebody that's living with you, and you're not having the issues that a lot of people do, unfortunately, that don't have those connections with the people. So, right. You know, I was talking with a friend who has a new baby, and he's with his wife, and he was saying, you know, all these people are like, I want to go back to work. And he's like, I love being at home with my wife and daughter, you know, my son. And I was like, I was like, that's great. You know, it's like, he's been able to do some work at home, but he's like, he's in no rush to like go back out and be in the hub of, you know, busyness of having to be places, because he just loves to be with the people, you know, the people that he loves to be with, which is awesome. So we're going to transition a little bit here. The reason that you and I met is because we have a really great mutual friend who's in Las Vegas, who is actually, I recorded for the podcast. And Tracy mentioned, you know, I asked Tracy in our interview, I said, are there any other sisters? I asked Sister Lucy, are there any other sisters you think that would enjoy to having a conversation about gratitude and talking about the sisterhood? And he mentioned you. So in that idea, could you tell the people who the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are and what their mission is? And then how you got involved with them. So that's a loaded question.
So three parts. So the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are a 21st century order of queer nuns, where they were founded in 1979 in San Francisco as a way to kind of speak out about the conformity that was happening within the gay community in the Castro. And it grew out of that whole kind of political activism. And the sisters really kind of built their ministry during the AIDS epidemic by providing services and helping people obtain services and doing fundraising for organizations. And that was the core of their ministry. Obviously, as HIV has become more treatable and even preventable, the ministry of the sisters is changing, but the mission has always remained the same. The mission is to promote universal joy and stamp out stigmatic guilt. And that's definitely something that I can relate to. So our house, I'm in Washington, D.C., and our house has a thing that we like to raise funds, and raise hell.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So how did you get involved with the sisters? How did you get introduced to the sisters?
So I was living in San Francisco in the 90s, and that was my first exposure to the sisters. And I think I was just, I couldn't wrap my head around it at the time. And then fast forward 20, 30 years in the future, and here I am living in DC. And by then the sisters had, you know, their ministry had become well known, who they were, what they stood for. We started seeing them in town. And so at some point we started asking them, and I had a conversation with a couple of sisters. And then I found out that a very dear friend of mine was a sister, and I had no idea. So I had that conversation, and you know, it helped me go back to the house here and have those conversations and ask difficult questions and find out that, you know, all in all, what I was looking for, because I was looking for a form of activism, I was looking for something that suited me, that I could do some really kind of social justice work. And the sisters were what spoke to me, because there's a lot of, we do a lot of speaking on social justice issues, a lot of talking about dismantling systems of oppression. And we do that through the sacred clown, or, you know, putting on a face and just turning gender and sexuality on its head.
Right. And, you know, I loved hearing your story about the beginnings of the sisterhood, because it's almost been 5 years that I was in the Castro district with Sister Roma walking the streets shooting gratitude videos. And we went to a drag bar, and she was one of the judges for the show. And we just, you know what I mean, walking with her in that historical district in San Francisco, and just experiencing people coming up to her and, you know, obviously just loving her. And then we just collected these gratitude videos. You know, it was so memorable. But I've been fortunate enough in many cities to do that. But obviously in the Castro district in San Francisco is like the mecca of the experience with the sisters, I guess, you know, being with Roma there in that place. So, you know, I'm very grateful for those experiences, and the fact that that the sisters, every time I've gone out with the sisters, you know, putting on, like you said, the makeup and putting and spinning everything on its head, I just see the people connect with them, and I see the love and the acceptance. It's just, it's so blatant. It's so great. Like there's you can't read anything else into this. These are people that care, that accept people, and that love people. It's a magical thing that that, as much as I'm talking about it, until you're part of it, you definitely really won't get it.
That's very true.
Yeah. So how obviously the sisterhood does a lot of things, but how is gratitude part of the sisterhood, and you know, how have you felt gratitude in being within the sisterhood?
So one of the things that for me within our local house, it was like almost instantly gaining like 20 new friends.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's what it was. So like people, like for me, like people that I may not interact with, like I may or may not interact with in any other realm, like all of a sudden we had this one thing in common. And it's so, you know, it was grateful to be able to talk to them about things in terms of like social justice, or like how would the sisters handle this? Or what are your thoughts on X, Y, or Z? Or, hey, I have this idea for doing this project. What do you think? And just being able to actually put those ideas into being, like giving birth to, I mean, becoming a sister is like giving birth to a whole new persona. So now that persona is evolving and growing. At the same time, we're still doing projects to engage our community, to bring joy into the world, to address issues around social justice and stigmatic guilt. So, that's and bringing those projects and hearing some of the creativity that comes out of some of my sisters is just unbelievably amazing.
That's wonderful, man. That's really wonderful. Yeah, just you're automatically, like you said, 20 good friends. Like you basically became part of a family that it just like instantly, which is wonderful. And I know when I get around the sisters, I feel incredibly comfortable. It's a whole different experience because I'm not a sister, but I definitely, I know when I'm with the sister, I know that they get gratitude and they get love. And that's where my heart comes from when I'm talking to somebody and sharing gratitude or initiating gratitude. It's in a very similar space. And it's a perfect match. I was telling like Sister Lucy, when I got to Las Vegas, like all the way up till I got to Las Vegas, it was basically me for the most part, initiating the videos. Even if I was with somebody, I was still the one that like was doing it. But when I got to Las Vegas, this is what Sister Lucy did. We went to Charlie's, the club that's also off the strip. And she said, look, Chris, I'm just going to send people out to you. You just go outside. I'm going to send people out to you. You literally, somebody would come out and be like, oh, I'm here to do a video. It was like, you know what I mean? Like I felt like all up till that point, like I was struggling because it was just me, like just trying to make this work. And next thing you know, it's like a revolving door where some people are just coming out and are just down like that. You know what I mean? It was so, that's why it's like, I say like the best gratitude wing person, you know, wing nun, wing whatever person you could ever imagine. Cause it was just, I feel like up till that moment, it had been, you know, there was easy times and hard times, but at that moment it was just like flying or something, you know, your just wings are up because these people just kept coming out because she knew these people or just say, basically like, he's here doing this, go out and talk to him, you know? It's just like, it was just done. Like there was no, you know, it was like, they just like showed up. They were there. They were game. I didn't have to say anything. It's like game on, you know, it's like, it's so beautiful. So now we're going to talk about what is your sister name and how did you come about with it?
So my sister name is Sister Soyuna Pasiva, and it is one of the translations to basically say I'm a bottom in Spanish. And it's a funny story. I had a playmate that played the Spanish version of Willem's song, This Boy is a Bottom, which is Es Una Pasiva.
Okay.
And I was like, I took that and I twisted it and said, this is going to be my name. And people were like, you know, there was, it's so like just in the name, there's so much unpacking that happens. In the gay community, there's this concept of mask for mask. And that if you're a bottom, you're less masculine than if you're a top. And so there's these things that go around that it's called bottom shaming. And, you know, shaming someone for being the receptive partner rather than the active partner. And what my name does is it takes it, it owns it, it turns it on its head, and it makes it something that is like it forces us as a community to look at how we treat people who are receptive partners.
Okay. You're taking an empowering the name that normally people look, okay. That is usually an empowered name. You're adding strength to it.
I'm adding strength to it. I'm taking it back and owning it.
Taking it back, right.
Taking it back, owning it, and forcing our community to look at how we treat people who are receptive.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's a wonderful message. And it's a big message about a lot of things. Not only that, obviously, but there's a lot of power that's being taken away from a lot of different issues. Yeah, that's wonderful.
That stigmatic guilt piece, expiating stigmatic guilt. So.
Right. So it's right in line with the message. Yeah. Love that. That's wonderful. Throughout life, do you have a story maybe where gratitude became something very real to you or something in your past that you look back on with maybe in the moment, it wasn't something you thought that was something you'd be grateful for, but something that you realized you came to later in life that you appreciated, something, it could be considered like your gratitude story or just some, you know, or something that you look back on or just a story that encapsulates these elements, anything come to mind? I know it's a very broad question.
Yeah, actually something does, and it's a broad question, but I can answer it.
Excellent.
So many years ago, I had finished my undergraduate and I came to Washington, D.C. to attend grad school. I was only supposed to be here 2 years, and then I was going home wherever home was at that time. That didn't happen. I didn't finish that grad program. I ended up in another grad program, and I ended up staying locally. And that was due to this my spiritual community. So I had become a member of a spiritual community here in Washington, D.C., and it changed the course of my life. I was on track to study education and go that direction. And I left those programs and joined an acupuncture program, and it changed the course. Like I said, it changed the course of my life. And that was 13 years ago. So while that, like back then I was like, oh, I'm leaving. This is not going to be, you know, I'm going to graduate and I'm going to move on. And that whole thing, I'm very grateful that I ended up in Washington, D.C. because my life would not be on the track that it's currently on.
Right. And you probably never would have met this wonderful man you've been with the last.
Wouldn't have met this wonderful man. I wouldn't have met the sister. I wouldn't have met the sisters.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I love looking back and seeing, it's almost, there's something I've been thinking about more lately, which is like, it's called a gratitude cube. It's where you take initial step and then you start to see all these branches. You know, like what we just talked about, where if you would have left when you did, but you didn't, you stayed. So you met this wonderful man, you met the sisters, you have all those experience there, you have all these wonderful things of these moments that you can be grateful for, which when you think about them, all of them, it becomes so much more of a powerful thing for the individual, opposed mm-hmm. to just going, I'm grateful for this. Very simplistic. So that's a beautiful thing. That's what's so great about looking back. And seeing those things and realizing the gratitude you have for not getting what you wanted. You know?
Yep.
I could talk about that all day long, but I'm not. We're interviewing you, you know? So you obviously going out with sisters and sharing love with people and just being open and being present for people. What do you think are some of the roadblocks that people hit on on the road to being grateful or loving themselves, you know, or being open enough to be who they are?
Themselves.
Okay.
Themselves, our culture, our society. There's a lot of struggles there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of struggles and a lot of shame. So I think, as a sister, it's that guilt. It's the stigmatic guilt gets in the way. Humans are not known for adapting. We adapt to change very well when we're ready for it, or
right.
Not even when we're ready. We can adapt to change. Let me rephrase that. We can adapt to change, but a lot of times we just focus on what's not going well, and rather than what is going well. So what's the, you know, both a coin has two sides. It has, you know, there are the pluses and there are the challenges. And
right.
Most people get stuck on looking at the challenges. And I believe that that's some issues within our culture and within our society. It's how we're raised. It's how some of the pervasive things that are within those elements that show up.
Right, the roadblocks of, yeah, that's somebody, yeah, that's a good point, themselves, yeah, getting caught up in the past or bad memories or circumstances, just like we were talking about at the beginning, just taking root and building a house in those bad memories and bad moments and staying there, which, you know, is a beautiful thing when the sisters come up and what you guys are doing is you're creating these really memorable moments of just pure joy and love. So for somebody that's living in those bad places, when you guys pass by, for a second, they're not living in those places. You know what I mean? Seriously. I mean, it's that whole, you know, what's this flashy thing over here? You know, you stop looking over here. I mean, obviously there's more depth to what you're doing, but I'm saying the idea of taking somebody out of their whatever they're doing, you know, and them going, whoa, what's going on here? It's a freaking beautiful thing, you know? I know you guys are doing that.
The past has already happened. The future has yet to happen. The only time you have is in the present.
Right. That's so true. And when you guys show up, you're being ever present. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's why the connection happens, because you guys are vulnerable and you're out there, and then people want that. They freaking want it. They want it all day long. And when they get in the ore, it just happens, and it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful thing. It's again, you know, creating that. You all creating that with the love you guys give is just an amazing thing that we could never have enough of in the world. So it's my way of saying thank you again for what you do, because I do know what you do, and it's amazing. So, is there anything coming up with the sisters you guys got planned? I know obviously with this pandemic stuff, it's kind of landlocked most people, but is there anything on the horizon you'd like to, you know, talk about, or anything that, you know, charitable things or anything right now that
nothing
hoping for?
Nothing on the horizon. Our area is still in phased reopening. Mm-hmm. We just finished two really big things, which I'd love to share about, because they are still available, or one is still available. So we did this thing called 50 Days of Pride. Mm-hmm. All of our, what happened was all of the Pride celebrations were canceled. Our local Pride celebration was canceled. The major celebrations in the big cities, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, were all canceled this year, or postponed, or moved on to an online format. And so what we did was, starting in May, is we rolled out this project called 50 Days of Pride. And what we did was we read a book by Isabel Sakari called Queer Heroes. And it's about people within the LGBTQ plus community who have, who are heroes. They've done amazing things, or they continue to do amazing things against such great odds. The author and the artist pull on people from internationally. So these are not just people from the United States, but people from Syria and from Iceland and some of these other countries where they've done amazing things and made amazing inroads for the LGBTQ plus community. And so we read about them. And then at the same time, we're asking people to send us who their queer heroes are. We want to know, we want to hear from our community, like who, not these people, but who else would you think should deserve some sort of microphone? You know, who can we highlight? Who can we, you know, bring light to? And one of our sisters is actually collecting that information. That actually was, so every day starting on May 10th, we released a video at 5 p.m. of one of these readings. And then yesterday we released the final video on June 28th, which was the video where all of us, each one of us was saying happy Pride, or had a Pride message. There are fun things in there. There are exciting things. And then there's me in there saying, hey, we want to hear from you. So it's a really great project. If you Google 50 Days of Pride, it's on our YouTube page, Facebook page. The videos are up there. The other thing we did was several weeks ago, we decided to do a queer Pride ride, which was a bike ride. And every year around Gay Pride, there's an organization that does a monthly bike ride, and they usually do a pride ride, and that got canceled. Mm-hmm. So we were doing like a small group bicycle ride where we would ride and just kind of stop through some of the some of the establishments within our gayborhoods. And
I never heard that term gayborhoods before. It's great. Go ahead.
The Castro is a gayborhood.
I believe you. I just hadn't heard that before. It's great. Go ahead.
So we went to some of the places that were open to just say, hey, we're here, we support you. The places we could get a table in, we would sit down for a little bit and have a little food, have a little drink. And people were very glad to see us out. In fact, we are lucky enough that some of our streets are actually closed to traffic so that can be outdoor seating. And we went down one road and just every place was so excited and clapping, and we brought so much joy. It was an amazing experience.
That's beautiful. And I love that. I'm going to make sure in the show notes when this airs, I'll be sure to put your YouTube page. Maybe write directly to that 50, you know, what you were talking about with the video. So mm-hmm. if anybody wants to dig into that they'll have really easy access to it. And I love you saying, you know, you guys are going out in the community and you know that you're bringing joy to the community. I think that's such a powerful thing. And I think what people need to realize is that we all have the power to release joy out into the world. And I think that people do it probably a lot and they don't realize what they're doing and how powerful it is. And I think if people could think about, it's a really amazing thing that you do, you know, again, that whole thing showing up and knowing that you're having this joyous, you're bringing joy into an area. It's an amazing thing. It's like magic almost. And it is very powerful, and it's not some, you know, it's, again, I just don't think people realize what's happened. A lot of people don't realize what they're doing, what's happening with what they're doing. And I think if you think about it more, it's just, it's magical. I think thinking in the sense that there's no joy here, and we've brought joy into this place. You know, we've changed the temperature in the room just from being who we are and loving people is such a powerful thing that that anybody can do if they want to. I just love that you're saying, you know, we went to these gayborhoods and let them know we're here and we brought joy. And I'm sure you did. I can only imagine you guys rolling around on the bikes and just seeing that and how giddy that would make me feel. I just, you know, again, anything that I'll have to see if I can find a picture of that. Maybe I can link a picture so people could see what we're talking about, you know, with you guys on the bikes. I'm sure it's like nothing else you've ever seen. Or, you know, if you haven't heard, say you hadn't heard the sisters, they saw that picture. They have no idea what's going on. No idea. But they'd be smiling and going, what is this? You know, are there, you know, we're getting close to the end of our time here. I was just wondering, are there any other sisters that you think, maybe one or two that you think or could recommend that I could have my podcast so we could continue to share the sisterhood in different cities or with different members?
So the one sister that comes to mind for me is Sister Fancy Pants from Vancouver. She has this ongoing amazing project where she features a sister every so often, and it's called Sisters of Joy. So she basically interviews us and asks us our name, how did we get involved with the sisters, similar questions to what you're asking, and she creates a video. Both my partner and I have been featured in her series, as well as some of the most amazing sisters within the San Francisco house, and even sisters internationally. So it's an amazing piece of work that she does. She is really spreading the joy.
Awesome. Yes, I definitely want to talk with her and see some of her videos. That's a yes. Excellent. Thank you. I hope not obviously a little bit later, maybe you can help connect us on Facebook or something like that so I can get a dialogue going. I'd really appreciate that. That sounds wonderful. So our final question is, if you could suggest, you know, to some the people listening, just some different ways, small ways they can incorporate gratitude into their daily lives, things you may do or things you think that assist you in being, you know, having that trigger to go back to that state. Are there any suggestions?
I usually recommend to write down on a, like a 3x5 card, what are you grateful for? What's going well? Like, what's going well in your life, and carry it with you. And then that way, when you seem like you're falling into that place of like doom and gloom, looking at that and even just recognizing, like shifting the lens, you know, taking off the rose colored glasses, or, you know, changing the filter, or, and that's really what it's about. And it's not something that happens instantly. It takes practice, and it is a practice, period. It is a practice. I've been doing spiritual work and, you know, my ministry within the sisters for, been doing spiritual work for a number of years, and then the ministry within the sisters for a few years. And it is always a practice. Like, I learn something new every time. And it's coming back to that base practice of stepping back from the details and looking at the tapestry of my life and seeing what's going well. It's a practice. And there are days where I'm, you know, trapped on a rock and I can't break loose, and I have people who help me break loose. So being able, you know, having those confidants to talk to and help me break the chains.
That's beautiful. I've never heard that before about carrying the 3x5 and carrying your pocket. That's a really great, what a great thing to share. That was wonderful. I love that.
I did that for many years. I did that for many years. That was how I started being able to look at the big picture.
Yeah, that's, I mean, just to have it, you know, it's there. That way, you know, you can pivot to it if you need to. But it's like almost like you're carrying a step. You're putting it down, so you're making the moment happen. And then you've got the safety blanket going into the world, which is great, which we all need our safety blankets, if they're metaphor or it's a real blanket, whatever it is, right? So that is wonderful. I love that. And then also, you know, you said, you know, being able to have people you can talk to that about anything allows you to be, you know, can assist you in the process of staying grateful, or just assisting you in not having your mind go down the wormhole so far, right?
The wormhole of the past or the wormhole of the future, yes.
Right. Staying in the present. So, Adam, thank you so much, man. I really enjoyed our time. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, and it's really great to get to know you. And hopefully one day I can get up to DC and hang out with you and the sisters. I know I want to. So,
we have a great house here, but hopefully it'll be after the pandemic is over.
Right. Oh, totally. Yeah. No. We'll set it up where it's free for us to go hit the streets.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for this opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Take care. Go talk to you later. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, man. Bye.
This is an open call to anyone that has a gratitude story or practice that they'd like to share. Just email me at the address hello@gratitudespace.com. That link will be in the show notes. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us. You could look at this as a way of showing me a little gratitude. Just a friendly suggestion. Thank you for tuning in to Gratitude Space Radio, and we're out.